Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi and welcome to another episode of the Snowcast. I'm your host DJ Walsh and it's a fucking special today, lads. I'm here in Liverpool with a bunch of Liverpoolians. International tour of the Snowcast has officially begun. I'm in, what's the name of this gaff, lads?
Boston
Pool Loft. A few lads playing pool in the background, a bit of Tory rugby on in the background. Proper fucking Tory rugby. Owen Farrell's about to kick a pint here with his big inbred head. And I'm drinking a pint of San Miguel. It's been an early start on the bus, onto the plane, into the Uber, off to the hotel, straight to the pub, here with the boys. And I'm here, first up, really happy to introduce this guest to Snowcast listeners. He created the greatest WhatsApp group in the world. You must get an exclusive invite. I'm now an admin. Shove that up your holes. And I'm here with my long-term friend. I call him a friend long-term. First time meeting him in person. What a man. Gary Ellison, what are you drinking today?
San Miguel.
Like myself.
G'day, everyone in Snowcast world.
Gary, introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm Gary, 39, from Liverpool.
39. He's the male Cilla Black.
I'm not on Tinder, so you're don't swipe right. I'm not on Grindr either.
Number one, what's your name? Where'd you come from?
Where's your behind door?
Can I just say this is really weird because for about 15 months we've all been talking about with each other on the WhatsApp group, which I created last August, and this is the first time we've all actually met each other, and it's like surreal at the minute. Fucking weird. It's like we've all known each other, but
it's like, you know, when you go to your aunt's house at Christmas on like Boxing Day or Stephen's Day for us, and you see your cousins you haven't seen for 20 years, and you're like, "Oh, do you remember that cunt?"
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
You're all cunt, lovable cunts. Thanks, Gary. Thanks for setting up the WhatsApp group as well.
And, you're welcome.
next to Gary, we've got another member of the famous WhatsApp group, a big Liverpool fan. Subscribes to the Anfield Rap, who we're doing a special interview with tomorrow, Gary Roberts. Shout out to that. Keep an eye out. Plug? Oh, I'm mad for the plugs, lad. Don't mind no plug now, charge me phone. I'm here with Scott. Scott, what are you drinking, pal?
Also on the San Miguel.
San Miguel, solid. And tell the listeners a bit about yourself.
Right, I'm 42, I'm a Liverpool fan from Liverpool and a member of this group, and I'm kind of got shivers because I'm stood here next to Robbie Fowler, which has been a lifelong dream of mine.
And I have that effect on most people that are
So, you know, being in the presence of God is amazing.
God is literally with us. And we're here having a drink with God. Robbie, introduce yourself to Snowcast.
Hiya, I'm Robbie. I would give my age, but, you know, I'm just a gobshite, essentially. So
I can confirm that.
So, yeah. I'm drinking Hop House, because I thought I'd go with the whole Irish thing, you know.
We appreciate it.
Oh, you know, it's got to be done, hasn't it? To be fair, there's not too much... There's Coors, which tastes like shite. And you're all right.
And setting Connor up a bit.
Yeah. And a couple of other beers which I've never heard of. So I was like, yeah, I'll go with the Hop House.
Have you done the Guinness factory tour?
I haven't. No. Guinness is like drinking tarmac. It's a bit weird. Like I'm not.
That's. Have you? But you haven't drank Guinness in Ireland, no?
No, it's probably a lot different. Yeah.
Different. Have you drank tarmac?
Yeah, several times a week, yeah.
And delighted to introduce our next guest as well then. These are the most people. Obviously, Owen's here as well. I fucking haven't introduced Owen yet either. Owen's alongside me as always.
Even the bar for you, to be fair.
Shut up, we were trying to be seamless. And we're about to introduce international bowling aficionado, Connor the Finger Blaster Mudge. Connor, what are you drinking today?
Water, I'm underage.
Good answer. He's drinking Coors, if anyone's asking. Introduce yourself to the Snowcast listeners, Connor. You're an active man on our Facebook page. We always love when you interact with us, and it's great to fucking meet you in person.
I'm Connor, I'm 17. I am drinking Coors Light, but I am underage. It's not the point, it's water to anybody that's listening. Police don't come and arrest me. 5-time gold medalist for England.
He brought the gold medals, I think. My teeth are actually sore.
5 times, like WWE Booker T.
Booker T.
5 times.
He won it 5 times. He won it 5 times. Oh, it should be 6. Anyways, moving swiftly on. Owen, how are you finding Liverpool so far?
Fucking shithole.
No, it's on. It's been my second or third time here. Actually, I have an old priest in Liverpool. My mum, when I was coming over, she was like, get on to Father Pat now. You should meet up with him.
I've met your mum.
Sliding tackle. Jason.
Open goal. Slapped it in with his Mickey.
Classic fucking
Father Pat the back of me ball sack.
Robbie, I thought you would have met the priest.
I wish Father Fisty.
Well, that's enough to fame his mother's friend.
Well, yeah, I'm on the Hop House 13 as well. I thought when Robbie Fowler was on the podcast that I might get a little bit of something extra off him, like, you know.
A taste of God.
Yeah. So I said I'd copy him anyway.
That happens later.
Yeah.
Right, more to come later. So anyway, look, basically, I've come to meet most of the lads. Owen, obviously, being a Manc, a Man United fan, isn't... Yeah, he's not in that WhatsApp group that we're talking about. But yes. I met the lads through the WhatsApp group, and we actually... Something we said we'd have a chat with you about, lads, because we're fascinated by it. The evolution of it, the way it's going forward. I'd love to know... Actually, Scott, I'm going to come to you first on this. What do you think is the future of social media?
That's a really
bonkers question.
Yeah, bad. I mean, you know, I'm just getting over Gary sending dick pics, to be honest with you. But I have no idea where it's heading. I have no idea. I don't understand Snapchat.
I'll introduce you to that.
No. Finger blaster, no.
The thing is, no matter what form social media takes, fellas will always find a way of sending their dick to someone, and it's mad how it happens.
I think it's fascinating because social media, like when myself and Omar were in school, and when Scott, like yourself and Gary, were in college, I bodied him early. Just a wee one. There was Bebo and MySpace, and then that got binned, rightly so. And then,
did you ever have Face Party?
No, well, it sounds like something Connor's been involved in.
It was fucking wild. Face Party, it was called. It only lasted for about 2 years, and then everyone realised it was shite.
I've been to a FaZe party, but it was a different experience altogether. No, I think it's mad. We have devolution onto Twitter now. Like, Twitter's just a toxic sphere of people, like,
can't
fucking
stand Twitter.
It's fucking
can't
brutal,
fucking stand it.
Isn't it?
Can't stand it. I think it's full of just gobshites. And I think as well with Twitter, you can hide behind a handle. Yeah. Whereas on Facebook, you've got to justify who you are. So, you know, we've got certain people on the Liverpool WhatsApp group, on the Liverpool Facebook group, and we know exactly who they are and they can't hide from it. I'm not going to mention any names.
Moving swiftly on from the abomination that are some people in.
But without social media on a serious note, Garrett said that there were even people we couldn't ever.
Yeah, well, but that's.
That's weird, isn't it?
It's the weird, positive isn't it? Thing.
Yeah.
But that's why you think Owen, like, bring you in on this, like, we're interested in the future of it, because it does bring people together. It brings cunts together with cunts, and then it brings other people together in a positive fashion. So where do you think it's going?
Just to bring it back to that, I don't know, boys, have you watched Black Mirror on Netflix?
Yes,
right?
Brilliant, absolutely fantastic.
So there's one of those episodes where there's this one, and
it's not the pig one, is it?
No.
You love that pig one,
don't you? No spoilers, I haven't watched it.
But there's one of them where it's like this kind of social media thing whereby you rate every interaction you have with someone.
Yeah.
So say me, myself and Connor here, like, I buy Connor a pint, Connor goes, oh, sound man, 5 stars for you, like, you know. Or like, I bought Connor a pint and Connor didn't buy me a pint and I go him like fucking 2 stars.
You get 7 in my eyes.
Thanks. But
I'd knock 2 off, make it 5, because you're a United fan and I have to bring 5 up. Conversation.
Yeah.
And if you want to see the European Cup, it's a couple of hours.
But
fuck.
But like, yeah, anyway, everyone's fucking interaction is like based on this 5-star rating, and it brings it down to like the level of like what kind of house you can get is based on your rating. So like you can only like buy a house in a certain neighborhood if you have a 4-star plus rating, like, or like the job, like as in like whatever jobs you can interview for, are, you know, you have to have a 3.5 plus rating or whatever, like, you know. And basically you become basically like a fucking homeless outcast if you don't achieve a certain rating, like you're not able to apply for houses, whatever, right? And like, I think the fucking brilliant thing about Black Mirror is that like it takes reality and just puts it like one step ahead. Like, literally, we are not that far away.
No.
There's a hint of truth in every single episode.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know. It's fascinating, cause
like
David
Cameron
it.
Has fucked the pig, like, you know. So
don't be going fetch the lawyers, yeah.
Allegedly, we say allegedly.
Allegedly, look, she's poor Maggie. She's in the mud now. the future of social media is a really interesting fucking topic. It's one that I think is fascinating, because it's one that it poses a lot of dodgy questions around, you know, law and shit like that. Like, you know, if you say something on social media tongue in cheek, like the tone of what you say, type and press enter on a phone doesn't come across on social media. So I could tweet Robbie, call him a cunt, and he won't be offended because he knows he is a cunt. But like, someone else might be offended and report me and stuff. And it's just like, there are instances of legal repercussions as well. So it's a funny, funny mad one. Owen, you wanted to ask the boys about something that we have no real...
Here we go!
The fucking tough questions are coming out, lads.
Right, lads.
Oasis of Blair. It's going to be Oasis.
We'll
start with that one, right? Oasis
over Blur.
Right.
What's your favorite Oasis song?
Oh, Little by Little, I'd say.
Yeah. Little Oasis over Blur, and my favorite Oasis song is probably This Is Great Radio. Fuck. It's hard because there's so many good ones.
Just sing it.
No, I'm differentiating between a few, you see, that's the problem. We had this on No, definitely not. No.
It's just his private life. He practices after. So.
My private life is very private. Except with you lot. I don't know. Come back to me. Gary, you're a Oasis true.
Well, probably slides away. But as I said on the WhatsApp group the other day, it's hard to pick your favourite Oasis song because it depends what mood you're in.
Yeah, that's very true. Scott, Oasis or Blur?
Oasis are the better live act. Blur are the better band. Ooh. Technically, musicians.
You are a tit.
Musicians. Sorry. This is my dad. Cockney Rebel, The Beatles, whatever you want to, however you want to redress them up. Live Forever is the song, obviously. But I think I genuinely believe that. Yeah. Oasis are the better band, the Blur are the better group of musicians.
Right, we'll take it on board. I might have to step between yourself and Gary there now. Sure. It is what it is. It's a fucking pub chat. People fight. Robbie, where do you stand on this?
I like Bewitched, you know.
Blame it on the weather, man.
No, it's probably Oasis. I do like both, to be fair. And a lot of people say that you can't, but I do.
Well, if they say you can't, they're a cunt.
Yeah, you're into what you... It's like the whole thing with... I don't like listening to it. You like what you're into. There's certain songs by certain bands. So, Talk Tonight is probably the one.
Yeah. Shout.
I'd probably go Roll with it.
Ask me karaoke song now.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Have we got the Woodies tonight?
If you want to end on me singing it, and that just fades out at the
fucking
end.
Fucking Skew's theme tune is gone, guys. Connor, you weren't alive, so I'm going to ask you. Kendrick Lamar or Drake?
Kendrick Lamar? No question.
Who the fuck is that? I didn't even look at
it. That's what I'm saying. I just know it's a question. It's like the modern version of Oasis or Blur.
But if you're asking me favourite song, I'll combine the two and I'll go Poetic Justice.
Right.
Who sings that?
For any underage listeners of the Stumpcast.
Good shout there, mate.
It's my favourite lyric is, if a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it?
That, and actually, he commented that on our Facebook the other day. He's consistent.
He's consistent, I'll give him that.
Yeah, he's consistent. He's consistent with his fingers and his tongue.
Because I thought you were coming to me for Oasis or Blair, and I was going to be, I don't have a fuck.
I knew better. I knew fucking better. I knew the head of you. Owen.
Right, the real question then.
We'll get to you, mate.
Right, so obviously we're stuck normally with a lot of Irish people, right? So,
except for Simon,
right? But I wanted to.
The Irish one.
Well, we're over here with a group of English lads who are not swayed. We're up north of the country, right? The monarchy, has it outlived its.
Fuck the Queen!
Whoa! Right. Connor's straight in there, right?
Connor, we go straight to you.
We know what the younger generation think.
I don't like them because they are pro-Brexit, and this is my future. They're fucking up. I can't accept them. Liverpool fans don't like England for a reason. It's because the Tories, the Queen is a Tory. No other explanation for it.
Do you know, I'm going to say something now. You're 17/18-year-old, depending on who asks in this bar. And no, that was fucking spot on in my eyes. Scott agrees.
I completely agree with Connor being such an educated response. I think it's an outdated concept. I think Cromwell made a huge mistake, if you want to go back that far. But I mean, I just don't see what the function is. I don't see the tourism argument. She's got an £85 million pay rise 2 months ago, and we've got homeless. We've got people in jobs who can't afford to eat. Yeah. Something's not right.
I think it's funny, like with modern politics in all countries. Like, you have at the moment in Ireland, we have our Taoiseach, which is the version of the Prime Minister, telling nursing and medical staff in hospitals that they don't get Christmas leave now this year because the trolley crisis is so bad with patients and trolleys. Yet at the same time, our politicians are off from the 19th of December till the 19th of January. And it's a similar thing, like the Queen is getting a pay rise, yet there are homeless people in England, we see, like, on the walk here, we must have walked past 20 homeless people. Do you know what I mean? There are rundown areas of the country.
I've got a lot of views on this.
Oh, no.
I need a toilet, and I'll be back
to so Gary's going to the toilet. We'll pause.
Super sick people. You're not having a good week at this rate.
We're going to pause now, and we're going to come back to Gary and the monarchy, because he's got some strong views. And I know that Gary served in the British Army proudly. So I'm really keen to hear what he says. So we'll come back to you in a minute. Thanks for listening, and stay with the Snowcast. Right, so we're back now, lads. Everyone's out of pace. Actually, half of us have had a pace. The other half of us have been chatting shit here. And Gary, you have some strong views on the monarchy and where they stand at the moment. And as I said, actually, as you were leaving, I did say to the listeners that you've served in the British Army. I know that much about you. So I know that you are... I'm really interested to hear your take on it, to be quite honest with you.
Right, listen. We pay about 59p each... in our taxes for the monarchy, and what we get for that
out of every pound is it?
I think it's 59p a year out of everyone's tax, out of everyone's
each person.
Yeah,
each person, isn't
right?
It?
So what you get for that, right, is a shitload of tourism. And for me, like, you know, I live in Liverpool, and we've just had the Giants like the other weekend,
that
and that
brought
so much economy into Liverpool. A lot of people visit England for like the monarchy, and what the Queen does, and what Prince Philip does, and what Prince Harry does, and William is, they go out and they publicise England and how good a place it is to come and visit, and that's what they do. Now, what I don't agree with is that little fucking Beatrice twat, right, taking our taxpayers' money, getting married. Who the fuck is she?
Yeah, spot on.
Who the fuck is she? She's a nobody, right? I'm not having me fucking paying my money for Beatrice. And
the younger royal soul, William, Harry, that generation, I'm sound with. It's the older ones I can't really be arsed with. I can sort of relate to the ones that are my age.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a brilliant novel, actually. The old racist prick. Fucking hell.
You look really good for a lad Philip's age.
Yeah, yeah.
Angry.
There's a novel by Sue Townsend who wrote the Adrian Mole books. It's called The Queen and I. And it's basically... it's what happens when there's a, I think it's a Republican government comes in, and they get them all, send them all to live on a housing estate. So they have to put like 50p in the telly and that. It's in the 1980s, and it's absolutely brilliant. So it'd be like what they'd be like if there wasn't a monarchy now. It'd also be different if in London they just turned Buckingham Palace into a giant Lidl.
Yeah. It's a funny one, because as an Irish person, obviously we have a great detachment to the monarchy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Like, you know, and to speak quite openly about it, we don't see the point of the monarchy. But that being said, Irish people, younger Irish people, are very quick to just dismiss the monarchy in a sense. But at the same time, when the monarchy was gone from Ireland, talking 1920s, 1930s, we replaced the monarchy with something even fucking worse, the Catholic Church. And we all know how that fucking ended. Like, you know, we had baby graves and fucking how many sex scandals and stuff like that. So it's funny how as a people we seem to, right, you have people need, like, people needing religion, and I'm a fucking agnostic atheist, couldn't give a fuck about religion. Well, it's funny the way, like, religion, people need something to believe in to get through their daily lives, is what they say. And then at the same time too, then for the day-to-day life, people need a ruler to keep them in check, it seems, which is bullshit to me. Like, as in, I don't see the point of a monarchy, I don't see the point of a church state or anything like that. Now, I take your point on board, Gary. The monarchy brings in a lot of tourism to the UK and stuff, and that's obviously important. But to be quite Tory, Connor says, but do you think, like, I'll put it this with you, I've never once come to the UK on a trip as a tourist because of the Royals. I'll come because I support Liverpool and the Premiership is a great thing for tourism. I'll come because you've got Harry Potter Studios in London, and I'll do a football match in London. Harry Potter's... Now, I get it, there's a some percentage of the population, but in my experience as a tourist in Britain, Buckingham Palace is only something that as you're passing you take a picture in. It's not the reason that you come to Britain. And that's my view as...
Yeah,
as
you're Irish, like...
Yeah, and look, I've been brought up like, as a Republican Irish person, I'm not... Yeah,
but no, but like, as like, in, the Americans are fucking... They love...
They do.
Absolutely.
They love the Queen.
Yeah.
And now, like...
But them pricks that love the Queen think they're Irish as well, like, so I don't, like...
But, like, you're one who married Harry, like, right? Like, so that's a fucking... That's an even more of a gateway for the
Merkel one.
Merkel, Meghan Merkel. Yeah.
Scott has a story about the serious topic we were talking about.
I went to New York and Washington when I was about 20, and my friends and I were going to DC, and we got chatting to the Americans, and they were like, oh, we love England, we love the monarchy, this, that and the other. And they took us around the White House, and this is how bad it is. One of my friends lived in a cottage, and they're going on about the White House and when it was built, and my mate just pipes up, and we're surrounded by Texans, he just pipes up from the back, my house is fucking older than that. And it was.
It was. I grew up near Blarney, so like the Blarney Castle is like, you know, the big tourist attraction for Americans.
Were you near the Holy Stone of Clonricket?
The Holy Stone, no, that's now a grade 4 relic, so... Like, the plebs aren't allowed near the Holy Stone of Clonricket.
Blarney Castle's only grade 3, like, yeah.
But, like, the Blarney, it's gas, the Blarney Castle, like, when you tell Americans, I used to sometimes give Americans an old show around the Blarney Gardens and the Blarney Castles for a few pounds, and it was now a little side business I had going, completely made it up, didn't know a fucking thing about the history of the Blarney Castle. So there's a heap of Americans out there at the moment now that think the Blarney Castle was donated by the Danish in 1272. But sure, look, I'm not going to tell them that, like, the truth is out there now, lads. Sue me if you want. Come at me. But it's gas, like, basically, like, when you're talking to Americans and they're talking about history and this, that, and the other thing, the Blarney Castle is something that's, like, you know, several hundred years older than their whole country is. So, like, you're kind of like saying, it's just a gas one. We actually had another topic for the crack. We're all football fans around here. Hold on, we're going to pause it. Owen's dry. Right, lads, we'll come back to you. Right, lads, so I have a... We're all football fans here as Connor fingers the table. Owen, get the camera quick. Instagram goal here, like.
Finger blasting goal,
yeah. So we're all football fans here. Gary, I'm going to go clockwise round table here with this one. Gary, tell me, who is your favourite 1990s football player?
Well, he's sitting right next to me, isn't he? Tommy Fowler. You know what? He was me first idol.
Mine too.
He's me last idol. He's the only idol I'll probably ever have in my whole life. He was my first true love. I absolutely adored him. It just, everything he'd done was just absolute class, and you can't buy class.
No. Well, he had like he had a way about playing football about him that was, it was from the streets. It was just pure, like, he was the essence of Scouse football.
But it wasn't even that. It, like, I remember going to it. Not his debut, it's the second game, but it was against Norwich. And he's done this fucking thing, right? He's halfway line. And the ball came over, and he just used his left heel, and he knocked it over the guy. I was just like, fucking hell, this guy's revived here. And it's just like, but it's everything about him. It's like, you know, the Dockers t-shirt, and he got fined for it. It's sniffing the lime, and it's like...
Against everything.
He just got it. He's... and, like, yeah, Steven Gerrard is great, but Robbie Fowler's got that little bit fucking extra that,
yeah,
you know...
That's what she said.
Our Robbie Fowler has that little bit extra as well, apparently. No, but Fowler was my idol when I was the first Liverpool match I ever went to was Chelsea at home in 1997. So I was 7 years of age.
5-5-2 or something like that.
No, that was an FA Cup match, I think.
No, that was away. That was the 4-2. Was it the one when Bab did his bollocks on the post?
No. Listen, I was 7. I was just fucking. I couldn't see because there were some pricks sitting in front of me. But like, it was glorious. Like, just like, imagine. Think about Liverpool in the 90s. Didn't win much, but Robbie Fowler was the fucking gem of the 90s. So like, he was my fucking idol growing up. Like, my family used to always slag me. Like, I used to pretend he was my friend and everything. Like, yeah. What, you got your picture taken with him when you were young, lad?
Yeah.
Or Robbie Fowler got his picture taken with. Robbie Fowler as a young lad. I remember seeing that on the Liverpool website before.
Yeah, I went to All Day Hospital as a kid, and we ended up going to the training ground. So we were in Melwood. Ian Rush came over. He said, "Oh, what's your name?" So I said, "Oh, my name's Robbie Fowler." He went, "I'll go and get him." And then he said, "He's God. You can be little God."
And we still call you little God in the WhatsApp group to this day. Like.
Yeah. I met Ian Rush a few years later. I was seeing the girl down in Swansea, and he just released a book, and I went up and he said, "Oh, what's your name?" I goes, "Oh, it's Robbie Fowler," and he remembered me, and I was like blown away, like just completely off it. And it was mad because it was what would have been 20 years later or something like that, and he still remembered who I was.
And like Ian Rush for me, like when I first really got into football, Ian Rush was to the latter end of his career.
Yeah.
But I still remember it being a big deal that he had left for Leeds.
Yeah, he went to Leeds. Yeah. There was a big thing as well about Robbie getting his number.
Yeah.
Robbie was 23, yeah. And then went to 9. He got a goal in his last game and stuff like that.
My first Liverpool jersey was a Fowler 23 yellow kit.
Was it the Adidas one?
Yeah. What was it, 95, 96 maybe?
It might have been the year before, yeah. I got given a Liverpool shirt when I was in hospital with Fowler 23 on it. And that was the season when Robbie made his debut.
And you're still wearing it today?
Yeah. I'll put it on now, yeah. Still fits, it's great. Hey,
So, for you, is it a toss-up between Rushy and Fowler for your favourite 90s footballer?
In terms of 90s, in terms of Liverpool, it's Robbie, obviously, but like I can remember watching like Italia 90 and watching Gabriel Batistuta and players like that. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
And obviously, as Irish people, Batistuta is an icon because of what he did to Beckham.
Yeah, yeah, Batistuta was amazing. Football Italia in general was really, really good. Connor won't remember any of this.
Nope. Not a fucking clue.
Football Italia was.
I'll doctor this question for you as well, Connor, when I come to you.
Thanks, mate.
Football Italia essentially, just for you, was they just should have one match on from Italy on a Sunday when there was hardly any football on. And you wouldn't know any of the players, and then someone would ride for it. But Batistuta, he had long hair. He was. His shot was rock hard as well. Like, he swat it in from anywhere. And he was at Fiorentina and he had this beautiful purple kit with Nintendo written across it.
Oh, everything about it. Yeah. Like, I love it.
But the thing with Batistuta as well was he had like a silky touch. And this is in an era where football was a bit more Sunday league. Professional football was a bit more Sunday league. And he was just classy. Like, do you know what we take for granted now? Like a 30-yard pass in the air and a lad just pulling it out of the sky. Because footballs are lighter. Football boots have adapted technologically. Like,
everyone just knows how to control the ball.
Do you know what I mean? Coaching and so on. Batistuta just was naturally gifted. Like,
he came over to Fiorentina, and his first training session, they all thought he was shite, essentially. Yeah, like, who'd be bought? He was only like 17, I think. And then he scored, and then he got, I think it was a bad ankle injury. So he was out for about a year. He came back, started knocking goals in, and then went to Roma. And then won the league with Roma.
Yeah. And the thing with that is like that the thing with Roma's league win, which sickens me as a Liverpool fan, is Totti got his league win. No, he didn't win anything basically for the 16 years since. But like Steven Gerrard, of all the people that deserve the league win, you know, it's fucking gutting. And Stevie started off in the 90s as well, so like it is relevant to the topic. But like fucking Batistuta, that's a great shout. Scott, who's your favourite 90s footballer?
I'm going to be really boring. I agree with Gary. It's got to be Robbie Fowler. What a player. What a touch. I think he's the forgotten man of English football in a strange way, because he was far better than any of his peers. I mean, the only guy who struck fear into Schmeichel, actual fear, and you could see in Sky games, you know, Schmeichel bricking it because Robbie was on the pitch, and, you know, touch, didn't have the pace, just what a finisher, what a player, just, you know, and living all our dreams, just being a kid, was fucking amazing. And the thing you said about street football that pisses me off about Robbie is Suarez, street football, he's brilliant, he's this, he's that, and Robbie isn't in the same. And Rooney gets it a wee bit, but Robbie's arguably the best player I've ever seen.
But that Robbie little shoulder that they gave to Gary Neville, and that got retweeted an awful lot recently because of the Bobby Firmino, John Stones goal in the league last year. Yeah, but it is very similar. But that's street football. It's using your head, like, just nudge this guy off the ball, dink the keeper. And the keeper he dinks is Peter Schmeichel, who's probably the greatest keeper in the 90s, are coming out and making yourself big. And he just dinks it over him. Like,
there's that, but there's his first goal as well, where he just twats it in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, his goal at Anfield against Schmeichel, he just pings it. Oh, no, the first goal that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, and the best thing about that goal is he hits the camera. Yeah. Because I have a cousin. I basically, like, growing up in rural Ireland in the 90s, you were exposed to Liverpool very little, and I was like this mad Liverpool fan, had all the kids, but I didn't get to see them play often. And I remember my cousin Sean, who's grew up in London and grew up just around the corner from Highbury, and Sean had brought me over this Golazo VCR tape from that season. And when the first thing in the first credits is Robbie Fowler hitting that camera. And I remember that was the first time I saw that goal a year later, just thinking, that's fucking amazing. Because, like, at the time, like, it might be on Irish television, maybe it wouldn't be on live, and then you might only have a couple of fucking channels, so you would literally struggle to come across the goal. There was no internet, you couldn't just look it up. Like, nowadays, like, tomorrow, some of us are going to Liverpool match tomorrow at 12 o'clock. That match tomorrow is 12 o'clock because there's 4 live games on television. Back then, there might be 4 live games a month. So, like, it was such a struggle just to see your favourite team play. And like, Connor, you have no idea what it was like going up in the 90s. But just for a bit of perspective here, Connor, we'll say, right, in the 90s, I was born 1990, Robbie was born 88, the lads were born a couple of years before that, but you were still...
96, yeah, 96.
But they were still young lads in the 90s. So from your childhood, who's your most... Like, I'm going to guess Gerrard straight away because of the age that you are, but I want to know, who is your...
Neil Barros.
Yeah, 1 to 12. From
Jimmy Tripp over. Fucking... Who's your favourite footballer from your childhood?
From my younger years, Xabi Alonso.
Younger years, you're fucking 17.
No, but I mean from like 1 to 10, Xabi Alonso, arguably the best midfielder I've ever seen.
Good shout.
But they're your formative years as well. Like, they're the years where you fall in love with football. Like, so,
and that's our 90s years.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's what the 90s is to us.
Yeah, it's 1 to 10 for us. Like.
The late 80s, early 90s for you guys. The 90s for us, Connor, like, talk about three different generations around one table in a pub talking shite. Like, the essence of the snowcast. But Connor, like, Xabi Alonso's a brilliant shout. And, like, what are your memories? Did you see Xabi live in a Liverpool shirt?
No, never saw. I only started going the game recently, properly. So, my memories of Xabi Alonso beating Team 6-0, him scoring free kicks from miles out, the Champions League final, just all the memories of Xabi Alonso. Watching him on telly as a kid were amazing. But if we're talking about recent years, Daniel Agger.
Oh, I love Agger. I love Agger.
Hey, he's got a Liverpool tattoo, you know.
He has YNWA tattoo.
He's a gorgeous
tattoo.
Man. Yeah. He's absolutely gorgeous.
Daniel Agger.
He went there. Gorgeous.
Oh, I love Agger.
Gorgeous.
The defence we had at the time was Skirtle. Play that nowadays, it's not staying on the pitch. But if we're going joking, Joe Allen is my favourite midfielder of recent times, and I don't even know why. I love Joe Allen.
We had that on the WhatsApp group lately. It was like,
I thought you were joking.
Connor put up like 5 footballers you want to go for a pint with, and he put Joe Allen as number 1.
I literally thought you were joking with that.
Joe Allen lives 10 minutes away from me now, and someone who I work with lives next door to him, and he'll be pleased to know that his chickens are sound like.
DJ, can I ask Owen a question?
Go on.
Who's your favourite ever Man United player?
Ever Man United player. So I was gonna answer like this question, with this answer, but like, so you would expect me to say a Man United player as my favourite 90s footballer, right? But What? All the 90s United players are shy.
Alright, let's shut up. Let's not get into this.
I'd highly disagree with that. Like,
get on with it, will you?
But anyway,
just say Jamba Jamba, and then we can move on.
Eric, yeah, we're one another. We're Eric, like, you know. Probably Roy Keane.
Yeah,
well, I think he's a fucking.
He's
just
mine.
Savage.
Are we
good at signing for this? Oh my god. He's just such a savage, like, passer of the ball. Like, just being able to, like he is what, like, if someone says midfield to you, that is what midfield is.
But the thing with Roy Keane was his football and talent was criminally underrated because he was such a good leader.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he could control any pass that came into him. Yeah. He'd pass the ball like the Steven Gerrard test you've heard people say was first training session, first ball Gerrard gets, he pings at your feet. And if you control it, you're sound, and if you don't, you're shit. And yeah, that's it.
I think that Roy Keane's criminally underrated because he was an absolute gobshite.
But he is, though. But he's from Cork, like, so.
But you know what, though? He backs up what he fucking says. So yeah. He went to the World Cup and he went, you know what? This is shit.
Yeah.
Our training ground is fucking shit. I'm sticking to my morals here.
Do you know what the thing is, right? That World Cup is a huge fucking gripe of mine, right? 2002 World Cup, Ireland get knocked out on penalties to Spain, who get knocked out in the semi-final. No, they get knocked out in the quarter-final to South Korea.
Yeah.
So in my head, right, I'm thinking, if Roy Keane was there and the standards that he wanted were met, they probably would have beaten that Spain side. They would have beaten South Korea in the quarterfinal. Imagine a country of, like, I don't say imagine because it happened this year. Imagine a country of Croatia size in 2002, the thing with Ireland is footy is the fourth most popular sport in a country of 3.5 million, 4 million people. Imagine it got to a fucking World Cup semi-final. It'd have been incredible, and it would have inspired. Like, if they got to
a lot of pyro in town.
There'd be serious pyro. What I'm saying is, I was 12. I turned 12 during that World Cup. I went on to play hurling and Gaelic football as my primary passion. Like, I would have definitely, if they got to the World Cup semi-final, soccer would have been the only, footy would have been the only fucking game for me. Instead, it happened the way it happened. It uninspired a generation of Irish footballers, and now we have the shit that we have now. But we're getting beaten by Wales 4-0. A good Wales team, but we're getting fucking beaten by a 4-0. By fucking Wales, lads.
Is anyone asking the Republic of Ireland about football, though?
Yeah,
because, you know, Northern Ireland, they love it, don't they?
It's one of them things. The people that are really into it are really, 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 really fucking into it.
Yeah, like, there's a big discussion in Ireland as well about, so we have the League of Ireland in Ireland, shite. Right? So
it is shite, yeah. They call it who's
your top team in
Waterford FC, yeah.
I support Waterford.
We've been to a couple of games. Connor, you actually, I put up in the WhatsApp group, I was going to League of Ireland match, and you had looked it up that Waterford FC were playing.
Well, like, they're fourth at the moment, right? Or, well, they finished fourth
after being promoted.
Is that like the best looking fella in the Burns unit, though?
It's like Leicester.
She's playing. Did he play in Europe then?
Yeah.
But they're going to see the Republic of Ireland team
in
Europe
in like July.
Dundalk, right?
Yeah.
Two years ago, Dundalk got to the Europa League group stage. Played Zenit St. Petersburg, AZ Alkmaar, and some other shit team. And the bet's in it, I think. The bet's in it, and they drew with AZ Alkmaar. And it was a fucking huge deal at home. And we were here, like, saying the Reds fucking lost to Napoli and Red Star. It's a catastrophe. And, like, Liverpool fans are throwing themselves off fucking bridges, apparently. Like, fucking an Irish team that we don't support getting the Europa League group stage and draw with AZ Alkmaar from Holland. And we're fucking jumping from the fucking ceilings. And we don't even support them.
Like, it's absolutely huge. Like the League of Ireland gets a huge knock, but like those clubs are
like on par with like the championship clubs.
No, and, not like, even. I'd say League One.
Hold on.
The best player.
Lower clubs of the championship.
Yeah, but the best players in the League of Ireland, who tend to sign for championship clubs, struggle to get a game in championship clubs.
Yeah.
So they're League One standard, because they're the best players. Daryl Horgan, Andy O'Brien. They struggle to get a game at Preston, and Preston are a top half championship club. Not too far from here, actually, as well. Yeah. Only up the road, but
the thing is, though, if there's a decent player in the League of Ireland, like Seamus Coleman, for example, he gets snapped up dead young and 50, then brought
50 over grand. Yeah. And that's the thing, like being Liverpool fans, you can be dismissive of everything, but they paid 50 grand for Seamus Coleman. He's now their club captain, and he's a fucking fairly, he's a brilliant right back.
I'd like to point out that Everton are shite.
They are. But Seamus Coleman is good.
Oh, mate. You know him? Is Waterford.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
What's the percentage on who supports who in your little town?
It would be very strongly tailored towards Liverpool and United.
Yeah, and it's across Ireland.
Across
Ireland. It's up, like it will be, I'd say, like 40% of Ireland, 40% United, 40% Liverpool, and then 10% of fucking miscellaneous. Like,
actually, speaking of everything being shite, they have a sneaky following in Ireland.
They have a big Welsh following.
The comedian, haven't you, who does the farmer Michael, in the Everton thing, which is fucking brilliant.
He's really funny, actually. Well, it's a funny thing, like...
I don't like him, you know?
No.
He's a tit.
They're all garbage, Kathy.
I think it's funny.
He's
I think he's funny.
There's a journalist, there's a sports journalist as well, Colin Parkson, who follows everything, but look, that's who it is. Anyway, lads,
hold on.
I have an answer either. Owen, who's your favourite 90s footballer?
So anyway, you would expect me to answer United 90s player, right? Yeah. So I've given my Roy Keane as a 90s United player. But I'm 10 years old, right? So, like, or like 0 to 10, right?
I know what he's going to say.
I used to play left back from my local soccer club, right?
We don't call it soccer, lad. Come on.
Fully, right?
I just fancy you.
It's just because of Gaelic football, right?
Any Tory's got a soccer.
So anyway, I used to play soccer, right? Left back, right?
Good needle there, actually. Soccer.
Left back, right? You play, right?
Fucking the changes.
You have to.
I used to be Roberto Carlos.
Oh, great show.
Good shout. You say you meant Paul Konchesky?
No, fuck off with him, Jesus Christ. Anyway, lads.
Roberto Carlos, right, you'd be fucking lining up for the free kicks, like,
Can I just do a quick thing on Bobby Carlos? There was a game on the PS1 called Goldstorm, and Bobby Carlos basically sponsored it. And you know, like, old graphics used to be like that, his thighs were bigger than the fucking pitch on this thing. Like, his thighs were fucking massive. And you used to shoot from anywhere and it'd just go in.
I love 90s, like 90s football is a passion of mine, but genuinely Robbie Fowler was my idol growing up. But someone who I always had a real soft spot for in the 90s, because I absolutely was obsessed with watching footy live, and like you say, Coppa Italia was around at the time and stuff like that. I had a thing for Roberto Baggio.
Was he gutted when he missed that?
I was only fucking 2 days old or something. But anyway, lads, I'm bursting for a piss. That's been a fantastic episode of Stokecast. Thanks for everyone for tuning in. Thanks everyone for contributing. It's been fucking brilliant being over here meeting you, lads. I'm running to the jocks because I'm literally going to piss myself.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.